Amen. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. It's great to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Amen. We're going to preach from Psalm 121, if you want to turn there with me. Psalm 121. Amen. He's a good, good father. And just as Sharon was sharing there, it just struck on me about Peter, and when Peter was locked up, he was sent to prison and sent to the dungeon, and the deepest dungeon. And it just struck me that, you know, he didn't try and look for a way out. He didn't try and look for justice because he was sent there as an innocent man. He didn't try and look for the world to right itself. He just sang songs to God. Isn't that an amazing thing? But instantly the chains broke. And there's a principle in that. And there's a thing behind that. Vicky was sharing downstairs about 2015 for the Gregory household. And I tell you, I'm glad it's over. Because it was just a year of mayhem and a year of one thing after another. And it's where you learn to sing songs to God. It's where you learn to praise God, and cars blowing up and this going and that going and things happening in the job. And the water went one day, flipping heck, what's next? The water went one day, and I think this is a simple fix. Bring the water crowd, have me water back on in 2 hours. 2 weeks later, got me water back on. Having to ring TDs and this and writing letters and emails to everybody. And it was just one thing after another, but it's where you learn to sing songs to God. That's where I learned it anyways, because sometimes all you can do is just drop everything and just start praising God, or cry, or run off, or blame everybody, and look for the world to right itself. But sometimes the world is not going to right itself. It's not going to happen. And sometimes all you have is a song. All you have is a song. All you have is a hymn of praise to God. And sometimes God will allow us to go into these places because it teaches us a lesson. And that lesson can't be learned from a pulpit. It can't really be learned by going to the Bible. It can't be learned by people's experiences next door to you. It can only be learned by what you've gone through. And these are the things that I want to talk about this morning. It's in Psalm 121. Let me read it. It goes like this. It says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? It's very loud, Ken. Sorry. My help comes from the Maker. My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade and your right hand, at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming, both now and forevermore. You could just park it there and we can all go home, can't we? It's just as simple as that. It's just like, wow. And this, the context of this psalm was, it's called a psalm of ascent. And it was when David and his people, every once a year, they had an ascent up into Jerusalem to bring offerings unto God. And they were called the songs of ascent. They were the songs that we sing as we're going up to the temple. And it's a tremendous, it's a thing of praise. And it's a thing of remembrance, and it's a thing of recognition, that we remember who God is, and we acknowledge who God is. And I was in Jerusalem, I was in Israel, and we were in the coach, and the coach was ascending. It was a tremendous, tremendous experience. For miles and miles, we were ascending, and then we just got to the peak of a hill, and then just over the hill, then you see the whole city of Jerusalem. A tremendous, you know, Zion, you know, the tremendous place, this place being battled over for 2,000 years, and where God revealed himself to mankind, and the ascent up into Israel was a very moving experience for me, just as much as it's a moving experience for David. And he penned the paper, and he wrote this song. And the context of this song is that, and it's like when I'm preaching a message from the Psalms, it's, you know, the Bible is very clear. It's a message for now. It's not a message for yesteryear. This is a message for now. It's a message for today. You can take this home with you and you can build on it. You can add it into your walls, add it into your foundations. Like I remember years ago, a pastor telling me, he said, Eddie, every time you get a truth, put it in your toolbox and keep it there and lock it in there, because you'll pull it out one day and it'll get you out of a mess, and you can use it. you can bring it to memory, and the truths are they're like little nuggets, they're like little treasures that we keep. We don't throw away. See, it's very important that we never throw anything away that God gives us. Everything, nothing is waste in God. And when we hear the word of God and we hear what God is saying to us today, He's spoken many words this morning, and I think He's going to nail it home with this, that we take this away with us and we build now in 2016 with these words, these truths, because the truth sets you free. And in the day we live in, and in the time we live in, there's many different exponents of what they call truth. There's many people trying to catch our attention, many things trying to catch our attention. There's many people out there that are calling out to us. There's many philosophies that are calling out to us. And they're all trying to woo us in. And the flesh is a very fickle thing, because the flesh loves to be tickled. It loves to be wooed in. It loves to be made feel important. And the flesh is very easily wooed in. And it has this kind of control over us at times that we listen to anything. We listen to anything, and we're wheeled in by anything. And this is what this psalm is all about. It's all about the truth. What truth do you believe in? What truth is trying to grab your attention? What's in your heart? What is it that you look to? Where do you go in the dark times? Where do you go today when this is over and we're going around the corner in the car? Where does your head go? Is church, in Ireland, it's in our DNA. Religiosity is in our DNA in Ireland. I know people don't like to hear that, but it is. I was reared up in a very religious school, in a very religious home. And there was no more God in it than anything. But it was religiosity. Go to mass, do this, do that. Do this, light candle, don't. Superstition everywhere. Do this, don't that. If you do that, that'll come down on you. Hit with a lightning bolt if you don't do that. If you don't go there, that's a martlar. That one's a martlar. You better go to the priest about that one. Boom, boom, boom. You're going straight to hell out of that. That was the language all the time. And our flesh grows into it. And we come into a place like this, or a setting like this, where religion is trying to be pushed out the window, but we bring it in ourselves. And Sunday morning becomes religion. Did you hear what your mum was saying this morning? Which fella? Your mum, the blue top and all. I don't remember what he was saying. That's religion. That's religion. But I went, though. I got there. So, me and you got there. My little nod to God, Sunday morning. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't get sucked into that. But it's in us. It's in our Irish DNA that we get religion rather than get God. We get religion rather than we get the Son. We get types rather than getting Him. And David spoke about this. He says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? And he's talking there about, in his time, the religion of the day, the worship of the day was in the temple. And everything was about the temple. You have to discover this. You have to look into this. You have to go and dig this out. If you're reading the Bible or if you're studying the Bible, you have to dig things out. And he was talking about that in his time that you had what's called backsliding and prostitution of faith, it's called. And you had the temple, and people were meant to go to the temple and meant to give offerings to the temple and give glory to God. You read Leviticus law. And you were meant to come before the high priest. And the high priest then was to take the sin of the nation and slaughter an innocent lamb or an innocent bull or wherever. If you're poor, you give, even a dove will do. Once innocent blood spilt, then it's done through the office of the temple. But in David's time, people stopped doing that, or groups of people stopped doing that. He went to the hills and he started building these little shrines, these little secret little temples where they were putting their offerings in. Secret little philosophies. Secret little places where no one knew about, the hiding places, the high places they were called. And there were these little temples that, and these little shrines that people with their made up things went to. So in other words, I'm not going to the temple. I'm going to my own temple. I'm going to where I create my own religion and I put God in a box and I control God. God isn't controlling me. I'm controlling Him. So I'll create my own little altar. And it will appease my flesh. It'll make me feel okay because I've given an offering. But it's not the right offering. The Bible calls it a strange offering. And there's nothing new in the world today. We do the exact same thing. It happens all over this land that we live in and in the city. That people have the high places where the truth of God is being preached, but it's a truth that people run away from. It's a truth that's not easily accepted. It's a truth that's hard to hear. It's a hard message. He said to Jesus, didn't he? That's a hard message. And he lost 70 disciples that day. It was a hard message. How can we believe such a thing? And in our human hearts, we still have a deep spirituality. And that has to be met. Has to be met. Every person has a spiritual side to them. And we go into the high places. And we make our offerings to God. And we put, it could be an altar of sex, an altar of drugs, an altar of drink, an altar of money, an altar of possessions, an altar that you think, if we offer unto, it'll make me content. It'll give me something back. And the offerings become very, very costly. Do you understand that? Blood is spilt up in these high places. David talks about it. The Bible's clear on it. Blood is spilt up in these high places. Their own blood. But the temple is looking for an animal's blood. See the way it gets all crazy? The temple's saying, look, there's a sacrifice for you. But people don't want that. They go and sacrifice themselves. And that's religion. That's the deepest form of religion, is sacrificing yourself. It's like an old saying, I don't mean to be irreverent, but again, it's an old thing, it's a very Irish thing. And an Irish person will say in his psyche and all that, sees Jesus up on the cross. In his psyche, and again, I'm not Irish bashing, but I'm just trying to get across to you. Sees Jesus up on the cross, and what does the Irish fella do? He gets his own cross, gets up beside Jesus, and gives him a wink and says, I'm up here with you. I'm up here suffering with you. We want to suffer. We want it to cost us. We want their blood spilled because it makes it mean. It means much more when I'm suffering. And that's religion. And David says, I look to the hills. He's looking at all this because he's wondering. David is caught, he's caught in a place of a challenge of faith. That's what this psalm is all about. He was caught in a challenge of faith. Where will I go? I'm looking at all this. It's attractive to me. This sounds exciting. Don't go to the temple. Don't observe the law. Don't go to the high priest. Create your own religion. Create your own faith. And later on in life, David's son, Solomon, was succumbed to that. It happened to him. And he went to the high places. And David was tempted by this, as we all are tempted by this, to go to the high place. When you leave this church this morning, the high place will be calling. The beacon on that hill will be calling you to it. Come to me, have a drink. Come to me, get stoned. Come to me, go to sleep around. Look for the valve. Some fella says to me there a couple of weeks ago, he says, Eddie, we need a valve. I have to have my valve. And I says, what's your valve? My valve is a good blowout. Every now and again I have a blowout. I said, what's a blowout? What now, a mad bender? All right. Yeah, all you have to do that. I need a blowout or I'll blow someone else out. And it was all aggression and all. I'm like, oh, don't start blowing out on me. Right, when's the last time you had a blowout? You do one now? You need a blowout. What's a blowout? You need a good blowout. I'm like, but you're the one that's suffering. Your blowout is costing you. That's not a blowout. How does that work? Where are you getting that from? You're the one who ends up suffering over it. You're the one who ends up in bits of it. You're the one who ends up going on like an idiot. You're the one who ends up making mistakes. You're the one that ends up remembering back, what have I done? You're the one that ends up ringing, looking to come into rehabs. Blowout, we need a blowout. No. Everybody is, the beacon is on them hills. There's hills that I'm tempted to go to. Every time I water, can't get me water on, I was tempted to go and break something up. Oh, he was tempted, and I succumbed to it, and a phone call. I said, Lord, forgive me. I was shouting and then saying, Lord, forgive me at the same time. There's no water. The beacon on the hill. And David says that, he says, where would my help come from? And then he got the revelation. He got the breakthrough. He got the vision. He was ascending to Jerusalem, and he just dawned on, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You can't get any higher than that. Can you? You can't get any higher than that. The maker of heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. Not from some human thing. Not from some piece of stone. Not from something I've created from my own hands. Not from something I've taught up myself. No, my help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. You can't get any higher than that. You can't get, there's no higher authority that you can turn to than the maker of heaven and earth. And he got a revelation, it's all human religiosity. It's all a waste of time. It satisfies them nothing. All these high places, they're dead. And are full of debt. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, and that's where I will turn to. Because, and here's the promises that we build on. Put these in your toolbox. Put this brick in your foundation. Stand on this stuff because it's the truth. And the truth will set you free. He says, my God says, that he will not let your foot slip. He won't let your foot slip. Now, they're saying, hold on, Eddie. Things go wrong in my life, and they do go wrong in our lives. And it has the picture of your foot slipping. And it has the picture, in some cases, of you falling. And it has the picture of that you're on your back and you have slipped. But the revelation here is that if you're in battle, guys, you have to dig the stuff out. If you're in battle, and David was a warrior. Listen, if you're in battle, David was a warrior, and if a warrior's foot slips in battle, he's dead. That's the end of him. God will not let you go to the end. He will not let you completely be destroyed. He will provide a way out. No temptation has seized you that's common to man. And God is faithful and just, and he will provide a way out. And the way out is Jesus. He won't let you come to the end of yourself. As a warrior, he will never let the foot slip, because that means death. He will always give you a firm foundation, and the firm foundation is Jesus. People say to me, Eddie, when you say that text, he will always provide a way, what's the way out? They're looking for some mystical way out. The way out is Jesus. There's no mystery, it's Jesus. The author and perfecter of my faith, my hope and my strength, my rock and my shield. And he will bring you from the brink and bring you up. I guarantee you that, because it's a promise. Yes, you will go through bad times. Yes, there will be death. Yes, you will be on your back. But it's not the end of you. It's not the end. It's not the end. And in some cases, and for a lot of people that testify here this morning, some cases it's the beginning. Because that's the place where we learn a lot. And that's the place where we grow a lot. And then we come out with a song that says, Lord, you are faithful. What a testimony. But when your foot slipped, the high place called you. When I was a young fella, and things, you know, sharing my testimony, and there was death in my life and my mother, and there was chaos in my home, and there was brokenness in my home, and there was devastation, and there was all sorts of things going on. There was mental illness. There was all sorts of things going on when I was growing up. And I looked for a way out. I looked for a way out, as everybody does. Everybody looks for comfort. Everybody looks for hope and solace. Everybody looks for, even in a child's reasoning, he will look to the hills. And a beacon came, and it came in the shape of heroin. And heroin was my comfort for a long time. It was where I offered everything unto it. Although the gospel was preached in my midst all the time, with my sister and people that came into my home and came into my house and stayed, the gospel was preached to me all the time. Even in mass, the gospel was preached to me. But I chose to go to the high place and offer myself. We want Jesus to make an offering. I offered myself, thinking that this is my answer. Because in it I have peace. In it I have clarity of mind. In it I have hope. Because that's why it's so potent. It does exactly what it says on the tin. In it I have strength, confidence. In it I have all these things. And it was a beacon on a hill. Where does my help come from? And me, I went to that beacon. But the thing is, after a while it cost me my life. It took everything, and I was on the altar. I was sacrificed, not Jesus, me. And it took Jesus to come and take me from that altar and bring me to himself. And he said, I will be your offering. I will take it. I will cleanse you of all your sin. I will not let your foot slip. Even in the midst of death, I will bring you from the fire. And he did in my life. He took me from the brink. And he said to me, he says, Eddie, I will be your hope. I will be your rock. He says, he who watches over you will not slumber. God said that to me that day. Well, I remember it was June. Noel's great for dates. It was June the 19th, 1995, over there in Thomas Street. When Jesus says to me, he says, I won't slumber for you. I watch over you. I won't rest in you. You're mine. I won't let your foot slip. Trust in me. I'm yours, he says. He started making promises to me. He says, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. Can you imagine having that? Because I tell you, in my life, drink and drugs, they did fall asleep. They didn't watch over me. The world has all these promises, but they're lies. I trusted in lots of things and they fell asleep. They didn't watch over me. They let me slip into harm. They watched over me while I was dying. Do you understand that? The devil makes all these promises, but he can't keep them. They make all these mad promises, and I watch over you, and I give you all these things. But none of it works. It does fall asleep. It fails us. And that's my challenge to us this morning, is that when you look to these hills, ask yourself what they're promising you. And then say to yourself in your spirit, can I keep them promises? Kind of keep them promises. I remember dealing with a guy years ago. I said, now we're not going to get married now. Everything's going to be great. The alarm bells went on. I was only a young Christian. The alarm bells went on me. I said, we're not going to get married now. I'm going to be great. Everything's going to be great. I said, there's a promise. That is a promise. That's a beacon. That's a big promise. Everything's going to be great. So the guy gets married 6 months into his marriage. Everything's not great. Everything is not great. Put all this pressure on a woman. Oh, can't he? Jesus is the only one that can keep the promises. He's the only faithful one. He is the only one that can, when he makes a promise, can keep it and back it up. He is the only one. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If he can make this heaven and earth, he can keep his promises. And that's the truth. And then he says, the Lord watches over you. And I love that. I love that Vicky's not watching over me. And sometimes she does watch over me. Especially when I have the more control. But on a spiritual sense, she doesn't have that burden. God has that burden. God is my spiritual protector. Not Vicky, not my kids, not my job, not money, not nothing. God is my spiritual protector. He watches over me. I love that. Because it takes the pressure off me. I don't even watch over me. He watches over me. He is my sustainer. Because I can't keep it. I fail. Imagine someone coming saying to me, Eddie, watch over me. As an egoist, I go, okay, I'll watch over you. Within 6 weeks, I'll be bored. I'll be bored, man. This fella's ringing me every 5 minutes. No, get him away from me. I get bored. get bored. I get disillusioned. And I'd say to the person, look, do you really want me watching over you? That's St. Mark's Church, is a great place. They're great watchers. They watch over you all the time. Or become a Mormon or something. They watch over you. They watch over you. And let me tell you, they watch over you. No, I can't watch over anybody. I can't even watch over my kids. I can't be a priest in my house, but I'm not their spiritual overseer in that sense. He is. And that's when I'm leading my kids to him. I say to my kids, yeah, that's right. I'm your dad and I fail. That's right. But Jesus won't fail his lads. He doesn't fail. How do I know that? Because he makes a promise. It says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day. And again, it's warrior speak. It's warrior talk. Warriors don't like to battle in the sun. They don't like to battle at high noon. You don't like to battle in the too hot. It's warrior talk. It's a sword in your hand. But Jesus says that in the battle I watch over you, even in the heat of the battle, when the sun is at its highest, I watch over you. The sun won't harm you by the day. It won't come at you. The light and the exposure, because that's what it talks about, exposure. I remember when I first became a Christian and I was in treatment, and again, you know, you're blaming everybody, aren't you? You're blaming this, you're blaming that, and you're blaming the other. And I remember God was allowing the sunshine to shine in my life. Is there ever in your house, do you think your house is spotless clean? Is there ever in that, I go and pull the curtains. And you think your windows are spotless clean? Or, and then it's a lovely sunny day, and you're going, man, this house is in piss. Vicky. This house is in a hoop. Pull them blinds, get the darkness in. And that's what it was like for me. The sun was shining and I was at its height. And everything in me was exposed. Everything that I'm responsible for. Not everybody else. Everything that I'm responsible for. All the things I've done. All the mistakes I've made. Everything that I have done. And God just let that sunlight come into my life. And all the exposure, I tell you, it terrified me. Because I was responsible for a lot. But I used to blame everybody. Now it's him and it's her and it's that and it's them. And all of a sudden, God through his light and through the sun was saying, no, Eddie, it's you, pal. For the first time in my life, I was 25 years of age and I recognized that I'm a falter. It's a long time, isn't it? No, Ed, it's you, pal. No one forced you to do all that. No one made you do anything like that. It's no one's fault. But yours. And I tell you, it was dreadful. Horrible. And sad thing is, guys, when people go to the high places, there's nothing to deal with that. The altars never deal with any of that. You are what you are. And the altars in the high places cannot deal with that. Only Jesus can deal with that. Because in that time, Jesus came and he says, I'm going to take all your sin. Everything you've done. And it was comfort in the sunlight. Because Jesus says that I'm going to cover you with my blood. And everything you've done, Eddie, is covered. Covered by my blood. I'm going to be your sacrifice. I'm going to be your offering. And son, the guilt, the shame was gone. And I could walk in the sunlight again. I could walk in the daylight. And no longer could I hold my head in shame. I could lift my head and look men in the eye and look my family in the eye. I remember coming home from rehab, my sisters didn't know who I was. Who are you? Because I was looking them in the eye for the first time in years because the guilt was gone and the shame was gone. I could walk through my community. I could have a relationship with my father and the sunlight wasn't bothering me anymore. The exposure wasn't bothering me because he had taken my guilt. He had taken my shame. He had taken all of my woes away. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that not what we all long for? I took drink and drugs for years to cover all that. The only time I would talk to people was when I was drunk or stoned. It's the only time. But now Jesus had taken that away from me. I love that. And it says then, it says, nor the moon by night. And that's a very strange thing. I'll finish with this. How does the moon harm you? What is he talking about there? And again, you have to dig deep. Again, you have to get the shovel out. Again, you have to break ground with this. And you have to look into it. And the moon is signifying our later years. It's signifying that when we come to the other side of life, when your youth is gone, and I tell you, I'm going to put my hand up to that. When your youth is fading away, and the sunlight of your youth is gone, and now you're in the phase of moonlight, in the phase of your later years in life, and God is still with you. Isn't that amazing? Because there's a lot of harm comes with old age. A lot of sickness, a lot of illness, a lot of mental illness, worry about the future, worry about where I'm going to be, worry about if I'm going to be left on my own. I was watching the television all over Christmas, and every second ad was about elderly people being left on their own. Every second ad was about elderly people being left on their own. And people worry about that. They worry about when their families go away on them. They worry about, if I fall down the stairs, am I going to be left there to die at the bottom of the stairs? These things are worrying. And God has this thing to say to them people. He says, when the moonlight comes into your life, I'm with you. I'll be your ever-present help. I'll be your guide. I'll be with you in the midst of it all. On your own, I'll be there with you. The moon will not harm you. God's promises are faithful. And there are things to hang on to. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Because Jesus is eternal. His promises are eternal. He is an eternal God. The high places that we go to aren't eternal. They're actually very present. And they don't last long. And they're futile. It's a futile experience. I know. Put my hand up to it. They're a futile experience. But the beacons, and as everybody moves out of here now this morning, those beacons come back on again. Come to me. Come to me. Come up here to me. Come up here to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you shade. You make all these promises. But you can't keep them. They're not eternal. They don't last forever. But God is both now and forevermore. Jesus is eternal. Eternity is shed abroad in my heart. God forbid if I was to drop dead this minute, I'm going to be with him. I am. I'm confident of that. I don't fear death. I fear possibly how I want to die. And I fear in the moment of death, but the principle of death I don't fear. I know where I'm going to be. Because he's bought me. He's paid the price for me. I'm his. And he will bring me to his bosom. He will take me straight to him in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be with my father. That's the hope that leaves drink and drugs. And see all them beacons in a halfpenny base. See, it makes them all futile because none of them can offer that. All they can offer is death and destruction. And very present death and destruction. But Jesus is saying, and he's this question to all of us, where does my help come from? And you have to come up with the answer to that. Every man and woman in this room has to come up with that answer. Don't lean on me for that answer. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Every man and woman in this room was responsible to come up with that answer. Where does my help come from? Same as David. He got the revelation as he ascended. Where's your revelation from? What beacons are there? What high places do you go to? Where are you wheeled to at night time? When sun shines, where do you go to cover for shade? Do you go to the Lord? Or do you go to other things? Patching over. Or do you go to the Lord for shade? When your guilt is exposed, when your shame is exposed, when your sin is exposed, when your secretness is exposed, in the sunlight, where do you go? What? Do you go to the high place? Where do you go? That's the question everybody has to answer. That's the gospel. That's the truth. And the Son says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. So he says that. You have to go to the Son. It's a turnaround. Again, don't let religiosity rob you of the sun. Don't let it rob you of the sun. Religion is a robber. It robs you of the person and gets you involved in the thing. But if you know the person, He'll set you free. Father, we bless you for your word. If the worship team want to come back, and we'll finish with a praise song. We'll finish with a song of ascent, won't we? We'll finish with a song that we can praise God. And I pray, Father, over this congregation, me included, that when the high places call us, that we could come to the answer, my help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Father, let that be our revelation this morning. As we walk down them stairs, as we jump into our cars, as we go about our lives, let us always look to the Lord. Let's stand and let's worship God. Amen.